Fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Now, last Friday, we promised you a big weekend, and here we are back with you on Monday to wrap it up. Wow, what an exhausting 3 days. And I'm not even talking about all the softball games I played. We had the start of the African Cup of Nations in Egypt and the start of the knockout round of the Women's World Cup in France. Just those two events populate much of today's show. So let's get started with this report on the first weekend of action in Egypt. We're joined now on the Sunny Side of Sports by Samson Omale, reporting from Nigeria.
After a colorful opening ceremony, host nation Egypt secured a 1-0 victory over Zimbabwe in the tournament opener at the Cairo International Stadium in Egypt. Kamal Bilyat, who was denied several scoring chances by Mohamed El Shanoui in the Egypt goalpost, says the Zimbabwe Warriors will need to work on their mistakes in their next match.
We need to work on a lot of things, but we're proud. We listened to the coach, we came back differently, and we gave it all, and we just need to rectify the little mistakes and try to shoot more.
On Saturday, three-time winners and 2013 champions Nigeria edged past tournament debutant Burundi 1-0 in Alexandria. And the latest Super Eagles coach Garrett Raw says they will continue to build on the momentum as the tournament progresses.
Yes, it was a very difficult match for us, because this team of Burundi is well organized. It was not easy. It's especially very difficult to score the first goal. If the first goal is not coming quickly, you suffer and have to work hard to score and to win the matches.
Meanwhile, Madagascar marked their first appearance with a point against Guinea. The match ended 2-2, and elsewhere, Uganda recorded their first victory in 41 years at the tournament after overcoming DR Congo 2-0. Tournament favourites Senegal got their 2019 African Cup of Nations campaign off to the perfect start with a 2-0 win over Tanzania at the 30th June Stadium in Cairo on Sunday evening. And it was heartbreaking for Namibia as Namibian Itamunwa Kimuni headed an 89th-minute Hakim Ziyech free kick into his own net to gift Morocco a 1-0 victory on Sunday in the opening African Cup of Nations Group D match. Moroccan player Mbarak Bosufa described their game against the Namibians as a very difficult match.
Very hard game, I think, but I think we dominated the game. We tried to score, but it was not easy with Namibia, who is very defensive.
Manchester City star Riyad Mahrez scored as an untroubled Algeria cruised to a 2-0 victory over African Cup of Nations underdogs Kenya in their first game of the competition on Sunday. And in an unprecedented move, the Democratic Republic of Congo squad have apologized to their compatriots for unexpectedly losing their opening game of the African Cup of Nations to underrated Uganda on Saturday. A total of 13 goals have been scored after day 3 of competition at the 2019 African Cup of Nations Championship in Egypt. In today's game, Cote d'Ivoire will face South Africa, while Tunisia will confront Angola. The last fixture of the day will see Mali confronting Mauritania. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson. As Samson mentioned, Nigeria defeated Burundi 1-0 in its opener, and our friend Iron Mike Mbonye watched the match at a public viewing center, surveying those in attendance to see what they thought of the Super Eagles' opening performance.
Good evening, Dan. I am Mike Mbonye at a public viewing center in Lagos. Nigeria has beaten Burundi 1-0 in the opening match of the 2019 AFCON tournament. And I want to seek the opinions of Nigerian soccer fans who watched the match. Let them assess the game the way they saw it.
My name is Moses.
Yes, what I see about the match is our Super Eagles, they started the game with a little bit of, they were a little bit tensed, but there was a comeback in the second half. Yes, which was good, and we were so happy that they made difference between
we and the Burundi team, it was actually a good match.
My name is Nathaniel Okoro. I'm speaking from Gowanna State. Yes, the first half was a bit dull from Nigerian side. Gave us almost a heart attack. But after the interval, the second half, and the coach made some changes, especially when Musa came in and one other player, the game changed. It was fast, it was purposeful, and they got the goal. We're very happy.
My name is Ben Oduma. Well, I saw the second half. I was impressed by the performance of our boys. Ole, the goalkeeper, made some silly mistakes, but we are happy we won the game.
My name is Innocent Onwe. I'm happy that we won today, but today's game is very, very tough, but we thank God we come out of it victory. I hope that our next match will be better and good for us. We thank God.
My name is Cletus Oko. Looking graphically on the game played just now, Eagles with Burundi. Burundi gave good account of themselves. But if you look at Eagles, there are some notable good players that are left behind the bench. In all, Eagles give good account of themselves, and we are able to perform and win 3 points. The winning is what we are after.
My name is Samuel Olanira, and for the game I watched today, seriously impressed. And moreover, I want Nigeria to just double up again, and the coach need to do something good before they start the game.
My name is Ahmed, and the ball was okay, but just need to buckle up because there are some teams, there are some heroes that are aspiring to make, like midfield. That midfield, you see, has someone that Oyinkuru that can help us track that midfield. But all the best, I will still try our best.
My name is Peter Ejiofor. I am the sports editor of the news agency of Nigeria. The match between Burundi and Nigeria was entertaining, very thrilling. I saw a Nigerian team that is well coordinated. They played very well. But every Nigerian is impressed. The Burundians also did well because they came as debutants to impress, and they gave Nigeria a run for their money. Thank you.
And thank you, Mike. That was Mike Ambonye on hand at a viewing center in Lagos. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Continuing our coverage of the Cup of Nations, we're joined now by Mugume Davis Rockeringe, who has this report on the reaction to the Uganda Cranes 2-0 victory over the Democratic Republic of Congo. Sporty greetings, Mugume.
Congolese music plays at Katsema Tonga Club in Kansanga, a Kampala suburb, as dozens of Congolese and Ugandan fans take their seats as they wait for the much anticipated game between the DR Congo and Uganda Cranes of the ongoing AFCON finals in Egypt. An hour before kickoff, the mega hall is filled to capacity, and voila, the match commences to the excitement of both fans. Both teams started with an attacking football, and Uganda Cranes striker Patrick Kadu scored a brilliant header after a fine pass from a corner by Farouk Mia within just 15 minutes of the game. The Congolese also pressed for an equalizer, but Ugandans kept calm for the first half to end 1-0 in their favor. Farouk Mia was at it again, assisting forward Emmanuel Okwi to score Uganda's second goal just 3 minutes after the break. The Congolese pressed but couldn't score, and the game ended 2-0 in favor of Uganda Cranes, to send Ugandans watching back home in ecstasy.
Oh, my name is Nicholas. I'm just so happy, so amazing that we beat Congo. It was just unexpected, but we're so happy. Two wonderful goals, a lot of shots on targets, a lot of possession. We're happy with our coach. So we are very happy for the win. We're waiting for Mosala. We want to beat him also.
I'm Atmina Perry. I'm so excited about this game. So to my side, the most exciting thing is the goals. In the first half, they scored the goal so fast. So it was so amazing and exciting. So I'm so happy, excited.
Both Atkunda and Nicholas agreed that there was no chaos among the fans that watched together. Despite the loss, Congolese fans remained upbeat their team will make it in their two next games. Abaka Saifu is one of them.
For us, for Congolese, the game was bad. It is still. So we have hope we can beat Egypt and Zimbabwe, then we pass. So we're still hoping we can win both the two games remaining.
Nicholas Siluni, a Congolese refugee, congratulated Uganda for the win. He says he was glad the match brought an opportunity for him to meet with his countrymen. Siluni fled the conflict from Goma town of North Kivu in the eastern DR Congo 7 years ago, and has been living in Uganda as a refugee.
When you get a chance to win, you have at least to say you have to shake you have to shake hands with another team. So this is just a game. You understand? It's not a fight. Because that's what also I was expecting. Maybe if Ghana celebrates with Congolese, where Congolese are, maybe there might be a fight. But I've seen how Congolese are civilized, and there was nothing that happened. We thank God.
DR Congo's next game will be against host Egypt, while Uganda plays Zimbabwe on 26th of June. For the Sony Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinjini, Kampala, Uganda.
Thank you, Mugume. As Samson mentioned, there are three matches today, and this just in, Ivory Coast defeated South Africa 1-0. The other contests are Tunisia and Angola, and Mali against Mauritania. We'll have those scores for you on Tuesday's show. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's turn now to the big women's tournament going on in France, and that's the Women's World Cup. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori has this report, starting with the sometimes contentious game between Cameroon and England. Welcome to the show, Kwabena.
The 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup in the first knockout stage saw the two remaining African representatives all knocked out in a 3-0 scoreline. Nigeria's Super Falcons suffered a loss to Germany, while the indomitable Lions of Cameroon were crushed by England. In the other knockout matches, Norway advanced on a 4-1 penalties after 1-0 draw with Australia, and host France defeated Brazil 2-1. To book their quarterfinal berth. The Cameroonians, conceding two goals in the first half and a third in the second half, lost focus, and tactically better England side played an entertaining game to please the 20,000 football fans at Stade de Haenau in Valenciennes. At post-match mix zone interview, England attacker Nikita Paris talked about the game.
Yeah, today's game was a fantastic game of football. You know, we knew that we had to win the game in order to progress in the tournament, and we knew Cameroon were going to come out fighting. You know, they're never going to let us come into a round of 16 knockout game and not fight for the position as well. So it was a great game of football, and I'm really happy we got the result.
Also at the mix zone post-match, England and Birmingham Women striker Ellen White said her team is still keeping the confidence to win matches.
We've built a lot of momentum in the group stages against Scotland, Argentina and Japan, and obviously again against Cameroon tonight. So we just keep building that momentum and that confidence, and we look forward to facing Norway in the quarterfinals.
That was Ellen White after England's victory. For VOA Sunny Side of Sports, Cobno Fori in Valenciennes, France.
Thanks, Kwabena. Two matches today in France, and as we speak, the United States is nearing halftime of its first elimination game with Spain, tied up at one apiece. Megan Rapinoe scored for the U.S., and Jennifer Hermoso scored for Spain. And coming up in a couple hours, Canada faces Sweden. Our friend Prince Nesta joins us now with some more details on the weekend soccer action. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Dan. The Women's World Cup this weekend was marred by VAR mayhem and emotional outbursts, quite controversial calls, depending on who you ask and whichever team they are supporting. Clearly, it seems like the VAR system is doing more harm on teams that are on the receiving end of the technology, but that's a story for another day. We kickstart off our weekend sports roundup by focusing on Germany, who advanced to the Women's World Cup quarterfinals for the 8th straight time after seeing off the Super Falcons of Nigeria 3-0. Germany's captain, Alexandria Popp, playing in her 100th international match, scored the first goal in the 20th minute. VAR review upheld the goal after determining Svenja Huth, who was in an offside position, did not obstruct the view of goalkeeper Chiamaka Nnadozie. Sarah De Vries made it 2-0 in the 27th minute with a penalty kick before Leah Schuler sealed the outcome late into the game. The 2003 and 2007 winners will be up against the winner of the match between Sweden and Canada next Saturday. England also progressed to the quarterfinals of the Women's World Cup after 3-0 victory, following an ill-tempered affair against Cameroon, during which all control was lost on several occasions. Steph Houghton drilled the ball low into the right corner from an indirect free kick inside the penalty area to score the first goal for the Three Lionesses. Distraught Cameroon players twice appeared unwilling to restart the match, gathering in a huddle after Ellen White's second goal was awarded after an offside call was overruled on a video review. The indomitable Lionesses were further frustrated when a Jaron Chot's goal, which would have made it 2-1, was disallowed for offside thanks to VAR, with the striker in tears after the decision was overturned. The result means it's the end of the road for African sides in the competition, with Nigeria and South Africa already eliminated. England will face Norway, who defeated Australia 4-1 on penalties, to reach the Women's World Cup quarterfinals for the first time since 2007.
Thanks, Prince. Now, before we get back to your report on the women's matches, I wanted to play this bite from England's Nikita Paris, which Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori collected for us on how she and her teammates saw the match against Cameroon.
You know, I thought they was brave to play. You know, every ball he was playing off on the back, and he really caused us pressure, you know, with the front three. They were very quick, very dynamic. So we had to neutralize their pace by making sure that we gave them respect and dropped off a couple of yards to ensure that we won the race. And, you know, I felt like we dealt with the game really well. They have a lot of passion, and you know, they never gave up right up until the end, and but ultimately we came through with the results.
That's Nikita Paris of England on the match with Cameroon. Now, Prince, indeed, VAR has made its presence felt with the technology correcting missed calls, much to the disgust of various affected teams. So, Prince, France survived a tense knockout match against the Canaries of Brazil.
That's right, Dan. France captain Amand Henry scored in extra time as the hosts beat Brazil 2-1 to reach the Women's World Cup quarterfinals in another game dominated by VAR decisions. France had a goal called off due to VAR in the first half before Valerie Gova grabbed the opener to put the hosts in front after 52 minutes. Pacers' equalizer for the Brazilians 3 minutes after the hour mark meant extra time was needed. Henry's winner means France await the winner of Monday's last 16 tie between Spain and defending champions the US, who face off today, while Sweden also takes on Canada in the other elimination game.
Prince, for you, what were the highlights of the African Cup of Nations games played over the weekend?
Sure, Dan, there are plenty of goals scored over the weekend, leading to mixed results. Mahmoud Trezeguet's sole goal ensured Egypt started their bid for a record 8th African Cup of Nations title with a 1-0 win over Zimbabwe in Cairo. The Uganda Cranes also ended their 41-year wait for an AFCON victory in style when they upset the Democratic Republic of Congo 2-0 in Group A. The Super Eagles of Nigeria needed a late goal from substitute Odion Ighalo to claim a 1-0 win over brave Burundi, while Madagascar were forced to a 2-2 draw by Guinea in Group B. Itamunua Keimune's own goal helped the Atlas Lions of Morocco earn a 1-0 win in their Group D clash against Namibia, while Keita Balde and Crepin Diata's goals ensured Senegal's Lions of Teranga roared past Taifa Stars of Tanzania with a convincing 2-0 win in Group C. The Desert Warriors of Algeria also enjoyed a 2-0 win over Harambee Stars of Kenya. There's gonna be a couple of matches today, Dan. Tunisia faces off with Angola, while Mauritania will play their first match at a major tournament when they take on Mali in today's fixtures.
Prince, it seems like Argentina finally breathed a sigh of relief after bringing their Copa America back on track.
That's right, Dan. Lautaro Martinez and Sergio Aguero kept Argentina's Copa America hopes alive after sealing a 2-0 victory over Qatar. Argentina will now take on Venezuela, who booked their place in the Copa America quarterfinals with a comfortable 3-1 win over Bolivia by qualifying as runners-up in Group A, behind host Brazil, who thrashed Peru 5-0. Colombia also defeated Paraguay 1-0 to advance to the knockout stages. And Prince Nesta, on the sunny side of sports. Back to you, Dan.
Thank you, Prince. Always great to have you on the show. Now, let's turn our attention to tennis, where we have a new world number one. Voice of America intern and Brown Daily Herald sports writer Ryan Handel has more. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Dan. Recent French Open champion Ashley Barty added another trophy to her mantle as she dominated her way to a title at the Birmingham Classic in England without dropping a single set. She took out Julia Görges of Germany in the final after taking out Venus Williams in the earlier rounds. The tournament victory, coupled with an early loss by Naomi Osaka, allowed Barty to claim the women's world number one ranking for the first time in her career. Previously, Osaka held down the top spot for 21 straight weeks following her Australian Open win in January. But now it will be up to Barty to start a new streak. She plays this week at the Eastbourne International in the UK before taking the court as the likely favorite at Wimbledon. It was also an eventful week on the men's side of things, as Andy Murray made his long-awaited return from hip surgery. Murray was out for almost 5 months. He partnered up with Spaniard Feliciano Lopez to win the doubles tournament at the Queen's Club Championships in London in an emphatic return after an extended absence. Let's listen to the crowd's reaction after match point. Murray's plans are still not firm as to when he'll make his singles return, but he was pleased to win so early in his comeback.
I need to see my team. I'm just really happy that my body's fine. I'm feeling good and I'm healthy. And, you know, I'm going to take my time. I'm not going to rush this because I don't want to and I don't need to. So if it means not playing singles until a bit later, fine. I'm just happy to be back on the court and no pain in my hip.
That's Andy Murray reacting to his double win at the Queen's Club Championships in London. Meanwhile, Murray's doubles partner, Feliciano Lopez, also won the singles tournament, making him the first player this year to win in singles and doubles at the same tournament. In Germany, Roger Federer got to play on his favorite surface at the Halle Open, and he showed why many consider him the greatest grass court player of all time. He took out David Goffin in the final, although his biggest challenge came in the quarterfinals in a three-setter against Roberto Bautista Agut. With Federer's victory, he now has a record 10 titles at the Halle Open. With Barty trying to hold down her number one spot, Murray playing in his first major since surgery, and Federer looking for his 21st major title, we have plenty of intriguing storylines headed into Wimbledon next week. Back to you, Dan.
Thanks, Ryan. It's always great to have you on the show. We got some big news today coming out of the IOC's decision. The International Olympic Committee has selected Italy's Milan Cortina for the hosts of the 2026 Winter Olympics. That news just coming down this morning as representatives from Stockholm, Sweden, and Milan, Italy, made their final presentations this morning to the IOC for their bids. The two cities were the only bidders left in the race after four others pulled out earlier in the process, scared off by the cost and size of the games. One of the big challenges for Italy was whether they would be able to pull it off after some difficult economic days in recent past in the Italian cities. Sweden, we all know how great Sweden is in the winter sports, hosted the Summer Games in 1912, but surprisingly has never staged the Winter Olympics. Italy previously hosted the Winter Olympics, most recently in 2006 in Turin. Just over half of the Swedes were in favor of their country getting the Olympics, compared to well over 80% in Italy, according to a recent IOC-commissioned poll. And with that news, we wrap up the June 24th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks to VOA engineer Bill Workinger, producer Bill Workinger and engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, how long can a head of state maintain effective leadership? Some African leaders are forced out of office, while others respect the political process. The politics of transition on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
A study published in 2016 is currently creating a bit of a buzz on the internet. The study by a pair of researchers from Australia's University of the Sunshine Coast provides evidence that an overuse of cell phones and other handheld devices are causing some young people to develop horn-like bone growths at the back of their skulls. Doctors David Shahar and Mark Sayers analyzed 218 x-rays of people who were between 18 and 30 years old. They say that 41% of them showed a 10 to 30 millimeter bony lump at the base of their skulls. The researchers theorize that moving the head forward to accommodate mobile phone use transfers weight of the head from spinal bones to muscles at the back of the neck and head. It's thought that this added load on the muscles over time can encourage the development of the growths. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information. VOA.